Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel, right? It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in his hands. But
Just know He has His hand. Just know He has His hand on you.
You.
Your side, you don't have to worry about anything or anybody. I am always reminded that God has His hands on me. But when everything else around me, when hell is breaking through, I know that God has His hands on me. Well, hello. Hello, hello. It is the first Sunday of March. March 3rd. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor B. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Season 2. Brought to you always by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the lifeline, the ace, my good brother, Hakeem Nuba.
Well, thank you so much, sir. Good evening to you. How are you tonight?
Brother, can't complain, man. Can't complain. Just making it happen, doctor. Making it happen.
That's all we can do, good sir. That's all we can do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you are in need of prayer, you can always contact the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show. 646-787-1798. Again, that is 646-787-1798. If you want to talk to myself and Brother Hakeem, all you have to do is press the number 1, and you will be placed in queue, and when the appropriate time is available, we will have a conversation. Amen. I always like to open up my show with a word of prayer. I believe that prayer changes things. I believe that prayer opens up the doors. I believe that when the doors are closed, prayer opens up the windows. So let us go to the throne of grace in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just being you all by yourself. We know, Father God, that in this life, we have some issues, we have some turmoils, we have some situations and some circumstances, but the one thing that remains the same throughout all of the issues of life is your holy name. We thank you, dear Father, for blessing us, for keeping us, for watching over us, for protecting us, for showing us your way and your will for our lives. Now, Father God, we ask that you will continue to show us your grace and your mercy. Father God, there are some out here right now that's calling out to you that don't know which way to go, Father. They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, Father. They don't know. Right now, Father, I ask that you will move in a way that you've never moved before. Touch in a way that you've never touched before. Show the people, Father God, that you are Lord. I thank you. Now, Father, I ask that you will bless Brother Hakeem. Bless our leader, Sister Michelle, and bless me, Father, your servant, as I conduct this show, Father, as I go to enlighten those who listen, as I go to teach this dying world about a man named Jesus. I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I always like to, when my listeners ask questions, I always like to answer those questions because I believe that that opens up a line of communication. And this week you guys have hit me really hard with the questions, amen. But I know that my God supplies all needs, amen. And thus I will answer all of these questions. Some I will be very vague with because some, you know, I really don't want to get into the topic of them, but I will still answer them, amen. The first question I was asked is, being single, what does God say about going without sex or intimacy? Well, being single is a time where you are to prepare for your mate. Being single is a time where you are to step back and look at the areas of your life that may need to be fixed, that may need to be repaired, that may need some help, so that when you take on that husband or that wife, those same issues will not become baggage. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to tell it now. Those same issues will not become baggage. And when you take on a husband or a wife and you have issues, those issues can be the same issues that cause your marriage to break if they're not taken care of. And so as a single person, it is your job to prepare yourself for that right person that God is going to send you. Dealing with the sex part, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:2 that because of the temptation of sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. So going without sex until you're married is a wonderful thing. It is a preparation time for you to prepare for that mate. Again, in this world, we know that sex sells, of course, but at the end of the day, if you hold yourself for your husband, it will be a blessing unto you and a blessing unto him. It is your duty and your job to make sure that you do this so that with this way, when that time comes, you can enjoy your mate. Amen. The second question comes, and it says, the Catholic Church has turned their ear to sexual abuse about their priests. Now nuns are coming forth. What does God say about that? Again, when it comes to the Catholic Church and the issues, at this stage of the game, we all know what's been going on with that. God would deal with that in his time. That is up to God to deal with, and God will, but I know for sure that God is not pleased with that. Thus, when God is not pleased with that, he will make things right. He will fix it. So all we have to do as people is sit back and constantly pray for those who are in the midst of the situation and pray for the victims as well. Amen. Third question is, in vitro conception, to get pregnant with, is this a gift or is this a sin? And what does God say about that? I will say it just like this. For the woman who cannot conceive on her own with her husband, but they're able to have a child through in vitro fertilization, that child is a blessing unto that family. Anytime a child is born, it is a blessing from God. God is the one that blesses with life, and it is God who is the giver of life. So if it's a blessing that science is able to create life and give life to a child, of a man and of a woman, and it's their child biologically, or even if it's not their child biologically, and they're able to have a child that can be the next future president, or that may be the one when I'm old and my old age may give me a glass of water, that's a blessing. Amen. So regardless to what goes on, it is a true blessing from God when a child is born. The fourth question is, do you think a non-believer should serve on the Congress of the United States? Getting into politics is not really my thing, but I will say this, that this nation was supposed to be supposedly born off of Christian beliefs. Amen. We know that this country has a real dark history on some of the things that it has done to different ethnic groups of people and different ethnic groups and those who came seeking refuge and those who were brought over here and made slaves. And we all know all that. But the original foundation of this country was supposed to be on a Christian background, amen. Thus, if that's the case, then I would say non-believers should not serve in that capacity, because if they do not have or do not hear the voice of God on them, how can they rightfully serve the people and the Congress? Amen. Last question. How do you think God feels about polygamy? It's in the Bible. Okay. Well, when those times happened in the Old Testament times, when that happened, it was due to the fact that God was trying to populate the world. Even when the people had, when the men had sex with their maid servants and created more children, and those children were a part of the family, it was to populate the world. When God formed Israel into a mighty nation, he gave them a set of laws. Through these laws, which were called the Mosaic Laws, we find that the Ten Commandments came. We find that all the commandments that God gave, and God specifically made sure that it was one husband, one wife. Now, for that, it was God's command to go and populate the world. When God said that that no longer was needed, he put an end to it. In this day and age, it is not needed. Does God put an end to it? We are to be the husband of one wife. If your wife dies, you may marry another. You know, in this day and age, divorce is more, it seems like it happens more than most marriages happen, and divorces, people are married 1 minute and gone and divorced the next. But it is not pleasing unto God for a man to have more than one wife. Yes, it was in the Bible at its time, but that was when we were trying to populate the earth. Now it is not needed. So men, you need to be with your wife and your wife alone, and that's it. Amen. I pray that I have answered that question for you, dear listener. And again, from there, if you have any other questions, keep sending them, and I will answer them to the best of my ability. Amen. As we move on, I want to say that on this day, at this appointed hour, I am happy, full of joy. I pray, and it is my hope, that you are too. It is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to stand on his promises. But more importantly, it is my job to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. I want to talk for a second on this testimony that came to me a little while ago. And this testimony is called Be a Giant Killer. When I think about the giants in my life, I'm not talking about the 9 feet, 9 inch tall Goliath that David fought and he slayed the giant and became a household name in Israel. I'm not talking about that giant. But I am talking about the God that kills giants. Whatever giant is in your life that's blocking your way from seeing the road of salvation, it is time to put that giant to rest. What I'm saying is, giants come in many forms and fashions. Sometimes it's our health. Sometimes it's a situation. Most times it's circumstances. Sometimes it's the things that we have created for ourselves, and yet still there are giants in our lives, and they have the ability to stop us from seeing what God has for us. Sometimes it can be our attitudes. Sometimes we blame it on our upbringing. Sometimes we put it on the person that hurt us the most. Sometimes we put it on the loss of family members or life or situations or whatever it may be. God says that I have equipped you with the necessary tools in order for you to be a giant killer. What I love about giants, what I love about these big mountains in your life, is that the word says that all you have to do is tell that mountain to move, and it has to move. It has to be slung into the sea, because when you stand on your faith, come on somebody, when you stand on your faith, when you allow your faith to go before you, when you allow yourself to walk in your faithful shoes, nothing can come upon you. Nothing can stop you. I am a living witness as to what happens when you become a giant killer. Back in a few years ago, I'm not going to tell y'all how old I am, amen. I'm going to be like one of my church members. She said she's 39. I'm going to be 39 for the next 20 years, amen. But I remember growing up, I was told that I never amount to nothing. Brother Mason, a couple weeks ago, as we interviewed him on the radio show, and I talked after, and I told him, I said, we share a similar background, because I, too, was one that was placed in the back of the class. I, too, was the one that raised his hand to answer questions. I, too, was the one that was looked at as being a second-rate student. I, too, was the one that was told that I would be dead before I was 21. I, too, I dealt with it. And it became a giant in my life, because many times those same voices that rang in my ear in those days, that said that rang in my ears every day of my life. Every time I reached an accomplishment, I felt that it wasn't good enough, because I heard the voices constantly say to me that this is just a mishap, and you're not gonna ever amount to nothing. This is nothing. Nobody's gonna see your accomplishments. And so all you're doing is just wasting time. But I found out, y'all, I found the secret that was just the word, the voice of the enemy that was trying his best to stop me from reaching my goals. oh yeah, somebody need to hear this. Yeah, that's nothing but the enemy trying to tell you that you're not going to make it. But I'm here to let you know right now that God says that greater is he that is in you than he that is of this world. And if he is in you, then you now are a giant killer. Put all that stuff to rest. And you stand firm knowing who God is. You stand firm because you know that God is going to see you through. You'd be a giant killer because this world does not want you. This week, I will be finishing my last class for my master's degree. My master's degree in theology was an emphasis on Christian leadership. Oh, somebody had to say amen on that. Because I never would have thought that yours truly would be this far in his education. But when you put your hand in God's hand, when you put your hands in God's hand, one more time I'm going to say it, when you put your hands in God's hand, you will find that he will take you places that you've never gone before. You will see wonders that you never thought you would see. I'm a living witness as to what will happen when you allow God to work on your behalf. I urge you to be that giant killer. You're having issues in life. I want you to say, from this day forth, I am a giant killer for Jesus. Somebody, I hear you. I hear your spirit. I hear what's going on. I want you to trust and believe that God has not brought you thus far to drop you off. But in the midst of God carrying you, I need you to pick up that mirror and look at your reflection. And if there is dirt on that mirror, you need to start doing some cleaning. Because sometimes we can cause our own issues. But glory be to God. Come on, somebody, that his blood washes us clean and white as snow. That the blood of Jesus can fall down upon us and it can transform our lives and make us better, better creatures, better Christians, a better life. Be that giant killer. God is looking for, Pastor spoke today, God is looking for a few good men. But God is looking for those giant killers. That's going to stand bold. That's going to stand bold before the throne. That's not going to allow no mess to come in and try to disrupt what God is doing. Be that giant killer. Stand bold with that S on your chest, and not for Superman, but for saved and sanctified. Oh, I could preach on this for the next half hour, but I got another message that I want to touch on, but somebody needed to hear that today. That testimony was for somebody. Stand firm. And know that he is God. Amen. I want to touch on for a second. When praises go up, the scripture for today will come out of Psalms 148, beginning with verse 1 to verse 10. And it reads, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heaven, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and a flying fowl. Praise the Lord. For just a few minutes, I want to touch on that. When praises go up, we all know that God is a cause and effect type of God. And we also know that this is a compound sentence. So we know that when praises go up, blessings come down. But I don't want to touch on the blessings that comes down. I just want to talk about the praises that go up. You see, we know what the effect is when we do the praising. But what's your reason for praising? Is your reasoning for praising God of selfish ambition? Or is your reasoning for praising God, is it just something within you that eats at you, that tells you, that wants you to focus on God and God alone? When you praise God, do you praise God so that man can see and marvel? Or do you praise God so that the angels in heaven can do a holy dance? You see, I'm a living witness to what happens when you praise God. Just like David, I can go back and look over my life and see where God has placed me, where God has picked me up, where God has sheltered me, where God has held me, where God has protected me, where God has loosened the straps. I am a living witness as one who can praise God in season and out of season. You see, I don't need a blessing to come down on my life for me to give praise unto God. I can praise God anyhow, anywhere, everywhere, in all places. If I was one of those three Jewish boys in the fiery furnace, guess what? I'm going to praise God until I can't praise God anymore, because I know that my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and his glories. So I'm here to let somebody know right now that it is time that you start to praise God for your situations,
praise God for the circumstances. Yes, it may not be how you want it to be right now, but I guarantee you this, that if you offer up undiluted, unfiltered praise unto God, you will begin to see things. You will begin to see that sunshine, because those clouds just can't last forever. God is sitting here right now, and he's waiting for you to open up that line of communication with him. And if you want to start your communication, well, it starts with you opening up your mouth and giving him the praise that he so rightfully deserves. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling it now. I'm here to let somebody know that on this day, you need to give God the praise.
He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Somebody here lost some loved ones. Well, let me tell you, praise God for the memories that you have. Praise God in knowing that they are not on this earth anymore. Praise God knowing that they are resting the rest of the saints. Praise God in knowing the fact that one day when your eyes close, and that one day when Jesus comes back for all his people, that together you will all praise the Lamb of God for his wonderful works. Your body may not be working right. Praise God that you still got the use of your hands, the wiggle of your toes, the movement of your head. Praise God at the fact that you can still pronunciate words. I'm here to let somebody know that we think and we look at the things that's happening to us, but I want somebody to praise God for keeping us. Somebody here needs to offer up the praises, because God is not hearing you praise him. God is not hearing you thank him for the things that he continues to do in your life. Yes, it may not be what you want, but thank God for it anyhow. It may not look like it's going to fix itself, but trust and believe, when you start to praise God, you put a whole different dynamic on that recipe. Somebody here needs to know that it's about giving God that praise. When praises go up, there are a sweet aroma to the nostrils of our Lord and Savior. When praises go up, and let me say this. When I talk about praising God, as a believer, you ought to praise God regardless of what goes on in your life. It may not be right, all hell breaking loose, but you got that praise. And that praise is on the inside. And what's on the inside needs to come out to the outside so that somebody on the outside can see what's been brewing on the inside. That spiritual side that's in you, that spiritual that's in you, that praise that's in you. I want somebody here to be like our grandmamas, to be like our great-grandmamas that sat there when we sat on their lap and they praised and they sung hymns unto the good master, because they knew that trouble would not last always. They got the notice, they got the news that their sons, that their daughters were just strung up on a tree by some crazy old people. But guess what? As the tears flowed down their faces, amen, they still said, "We thank you, Lord, because we know, Father, that this trouble is not going to last always. We know, Father, that you're going to fix our situation. We know, Father, that if we just continue to praise your name, if we continue to throw up praises unto you, that one day, Father, you will sit down and you will reevaluate our situation, that you will fix this situation, you will fix our problems, and one day, Father, we will stand victorious
one day, Father, because we lifted up praises unto you, Father, that you will see us through.
Feed me, Holy Ghost. There's somebody. You don't know which way to turn. You've been hurt and hurt and hurt to where now that's all you expect. For now, that's all you think about. For now, that's all you anticipate. But I'm here to let you know that if you offer up your praises unto the good master, you won't have to worry about nothing else. You won't have to be fearful. You won't have to be worried about when the next hurt is going to come in your life. You see, that hurt and that fear can break you down. It can kill you worse than any disease in this world. But I'm here to tell you right now, if you desire change in your life, well, then it starts with a praise on your lips. When praises go up, come down. And those blessings come down with your name on it. They come down with your name on it. That church, to that pastor, that lowly pastor, that church is not treating you right. You better start offering up some praises unto the good master. You've been working so hard. You've been working so hard. You do everything that they ask you to do. You give and you give and you give, and yet it doesn't seem like it's never enough. I'm here to tell you, you start praising God in your secret closet. To that lonely wife and that husband, and you've been doing all that you can do for your husband, and it never seems enough. You start praising God in your secret closet. To that husband that's been praising God and loving on his wife, and it never seems like you get the right things that you want. It's time to start praising God in your secret closet. To that mother, and that you find that your children are unruly, you start praising God in your secret closet. To the parishioner who's been in church your whole life, trying to do right by God and by right by the preachers and right by your fellow man. And yet every time you turn around, somebody steals your idea. Every time you turn around, somebody has something to say about something that you're doing, and you never get the praise and the honor that you deserve before man. I'm here to tell you right now, it's time that you start seeking God and praising God in your secret closet. God has so much more for you to do. God has so much more for you to do, but all you have to do is start praising God anyhow, despite the fact, despite the hurt, despite the church hurt, despite the situations, despite the jealousy, despite the envy, despite the backbiting, despite the talking, despite the devils, despite the demons, despite the evil people, I'm here right now to tell you that if you want a change in your life, well, it starts with a praise on your lips. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't get no help on here, amen. Somebody here. Better start praising God. Because when praises go up, we see our God move. I'm going to end with this little word my mother used to always remind me of. A man named Stan died and went to heaven. And as he was being shown around his new place by Jesus, he went into this room. And all he could see, as far as y'all could see, was boxes. And he said, Jesus, what are in those boxes? And Jesus said, you don't want to know about those boxes. They went all the way around. He met Peter. He met Paul. He met all the 12 disciples. He even seen the Holy of Holies. But yet, they got right back around to that room. And he said, my Lord Jesus, what are in all of those boxes? And as he looked closely, he seen the name Stan. And he looked at the next one and said, Stan. The next one and said, Stan. And all those boxes, as far as the eye could see, said, property of Stan. He asked Jesus, why is my name on all of these boxes? And Jesus said, because these were all the blessings that you could have received if you just lifted up some praises unto my Father. These are all the blessings that would have come down if you had just lifted up the praise. Somebody here, you needed to hear that. For when praises go up, blessings come down. May God bless you, and may God keep you. As we open up the virtual door of the church, and that door being Jesus, I ask, is there somebody here and you have been struggling with knowing about Jesus? You've heard everything that the world had to say about him not being real, but I want challenge you and urge you to give your hand unto him. Is there one that needs to know and feel the power of the Holy Ghost? If there is, I offer Jesus to you right now. Romans 10:9 says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is there one? The second part to the question then, to the believer, if you have served God wholeheartedly, but found that your relationship with him is now on the outs due to sin, due to lack of participation, due to whatever the situation may be in your life, I'll offer you an opportunity to rededicate your life unto him. If this is you and you're ready to rededicate your life, I'll ask that you would pray this prayer. Father God, I rededicate my life to you. I know you, Father. I believe in you. And I love you. Forgive me of my sin and restart this ministry that you have for me. May it be a blessing to somebody else. Use me. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. To the unbeliever that wants to believe, that wants to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, let us pray this prayer together. Father God, forgive me of my sins. I believe, Father, that you lived, that you died, and that you rose again. Accept me into your family. I am yours. You are mine. I am one of your children. And on this day, you are my Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer. I trust in you, Father, to be my all in all. I thank you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. If you prayed that prayer, welcome home. You are now of the household of faith. I urge you to get into a Bible-based church. Learn of the Lord. Be fruitful in his scripture. And apply it to your life. And teach someone else. Amen. God bless you. Brother Hakim, do you have anybody on that may want to give a word?
Yes, we do. Let's bring them on right now.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Good evening, Pastor Townsend.
Good evening, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I was listening to your sermon. I wanted to give you the Sunday school lesson my Sunday school was teaching this morning.
Uh-huh.
It was called Call to Humility and Hospitality. Mm-hmm. And we're in this unit to recognize the importance of humility in Christian discipleship.
Amen.
And
my question to you is, how does that apply to our lives?
It to me is saying we can call on God on any time and worship Him besides on Sunday.
Amen.
Yes, and the background scripture for the background scripture was Luke 14, verses 7 through 14.
Amen. That was when Jesus was at the wedding and was telling his people to not to take the bigger seats, but take the smaller seats and let the household man and or the host come in and pull you to the front. You don't have to worry about being at the front. You let the host bring you to the front.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful there, Doc. And that's what praise do for you. That's what praise do for you. It takes you from that back seat and places you in that front seat. And all you got to do is let God sort it all out. Amen. Thank you, Brother Darius. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Brother Hakim, do we have anybody else on?
Yes, we do. Bringing them forward now.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Reverend Townsend.
Yes, ma'am.
This is your mother. And listening to you this evening. Hey, honey. Listening to you this evening. It's such an inspiration. Looking at your gown hanging up on the door for your graduation, I am so, so very proud of you. And you deserve every bit, even the little morsels. You deserve everything. And the Lord knows that, and He sees, He knows, and He hears. And you're going to go higher and higher as long as you stay with the Lord. And I love you so, so much. And I know you will succeed because you're that type of person. You don't stop. You keep going. And I'm just so proud of my children, just so proud. And it's just such a blessing for me to be able to say this on air for everyone to hear. It's a blessing to me to just smile. And this morning I just walked by and just smile, seeing your robe hanging on the door. It just made me feel so, so good. And I'm so proud of you. So proud of you, your brother, and your sister. It's just such a blessing. And to say this on air, I love you, I love you, and I love you. And I love your sister and your brother. And one thing I can say, you have not disappointed me. Because you did it yourself. And you're going to go further and continue to see my smile. I love you, my dear. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. I love you as well. Thank you for always being that guiding light and that standard, that gold standard for us to look at and to see a strong black woman who raised two boys and a girl by herself. Thank you.
And you, and thank you.
As we have just a few minutes left in the show, I want to lift up a prayer for a friend of mine by the name of Katrina and my mother in ministry, Reverend Linda. I want to pray, Father God, that you would bless, that you would heal, that you would anoint, that you would fix. And whatever the situation is, Father, that the enemy is trying to cause on their lives, Father, that you would remove it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch in a mighty way, Father. Actually, Father, I ask that you would touch them on the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, Father. Be a comfort unto them, Father. Wipe the tears from their eyes. And when, Father, they start to question, Father, is something going to happen, Father, be their peace, Father. Bless right now in a mighty way. Bless and heal right now. Bring them both back full circle, Father, because you have a work for them both to do. I thank you for both of their lives, Father. Continue to touch right now. I stand in the gap, Father, for both. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We have 2 minutes left, and brother, I can, do you have anybody else on that may want to give a word?
Yeah, we have exactly 1 minute, actually.
Let me get 1 minute. Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair with 1 minute to go.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I just wanted to I know we only have a limited time. I just wanted to get on in here and echo what Mother Townsend said. As the CEO, founder, whatever you want to call it, of Hub That Online Radio, both myself and Hi Kim, we want to say that we are really proud of you as well in getting this accomplishment done and getting your master's degree. This is not something where you sat up in the dorm and you or you sat somewhere and you didn't have to work and all you did was go to school, you know, going to get your master's degree and still supporting your family and still working and still going to church and still praising and doing all that you, everything you're supposed to do in retrospect and still getting your master's degree. That's an accomplishment. And I just want to say you're a bad boy. I'm really, really, really proud of you. And I just want to say that we need to put some type of celebration together for you, Hot Kim, to make sure everybody knows that that's not an easy task. And the last thing is you could have got it in anything and you got it in theology. So, therefore, that gives me even more reason to pick your brain and to have even more conversations because now you are more, even more knowledgeable in things that I need to know. So, hopefully, it's written. You just got to walk that path. Mother Townsend is dead on. When she smiles, let her know I'm smiling with her because I'm so proud of you and you getting going forward and getting that master's degree. That's just absolutely – I know you're making like it's like a small feat, but that is actually outstanding. So praises be to God. He made it work. But whatever you had to go through, I know we have had conversations, but you made it through. And it's time to walk that stage or whatever you got to do to get that tassel on the other side of your hat or whatever the process is. You are now a master's, and it's just the doors are going to open up. It's just you just got to go forward with your destination. So we're proud of you, and we're glad that you are part of our network. God bless you.
Amen.
And real quick, I want to echo that. I definitely want to echo that. You're doing something I wanted to do my entire adult life. Is practice theology. I've done it on an amateur level, but you, my friend, are a professional. You are a theologian, and you can carry that title. And tell your mother I said thank you for making me boo-hoo over here. But those are some beautiful words.
Amen.
Yeah.
But thank you both. I so greatly appreciate the both of you. You know, we the three of us, we've all had conversations together, and we all know each other's, you know, I see you guys as my family. And I tell you, you know, you don't know how instrumental you guys were in helping me to get where I am, because without you, I would not be where I am today. So
no doubt.
I thank you, and I add a blessing to each of your lives as well. And I love you both tremendously. And this network, I'm HubNet for life. I'm HubNet for life. And where you go, I go. And where I go, you all go. So if I go up, we all go up. Like the young people say, if I eat, y'all gonna eat. Amen. So whatever we gotta do to take this network higher, that's what we're gonna do together. And all praises be unto God for the things that He has done. Amen. On behalf of myself, Pastor D. Townsend, my brother Hakim, Michelle, the leader of this network, HubNet, amen. We are the Jubilee Affair. We are signing off. God bless you. Good night.